This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we're back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you're just joining us, live on Twitter at eRadio Sports, info, eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. My producer, Jack McCraw. What say you, Jack? I mean, how cool is that, having the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks on our program this morning?
Alyssa, I needed a paper bag because I was breathing heavily after I spoke to him. I sound like a fangirl when I was on the phone, but it was a pleasure to talk to Rick Carlisle, and I know you had a lot of fun doing that interview as well.
Absolutely. It's always a true pleasure when we have an opportunity to catch up with him. And, you know, we didn't even have time. We ran out. I would love to relive so many incredible memories from the 2011 season. So what was some of your favorite? What comes to your mind?
For the 2011 season, I was a junior in high school. Everyone knew me as Mavericks guy living in Houston. You're like, well, you know, why are you a Mavericks fan? It's like, Well, they were the first team that I grew up watching. Dirk Nowitzki was my all-time favorite player. And to see the Mavericks hoist a championship trophy against the Miami Heat, who they lost to in 2006. And that was, by the way, my first ever heartbreak in sports was that 2006 NBA final. That 2011 Mavericks team will always be incredibly special to me. Dirk got his ring, and Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, Jason Terry got the Larry O'Brien trophy before the season. It looked dumb, and now the Mavericks will live in NBA royalty as NBA champions, and I will forever remember that championship. I'm sorry, I went a little long on that, but I love that season.
You know, when we think of the 2021 roster, what's the potential of this team? I mean, they've got Luka, they've got KP. Do they have enough depth to go deep?
I think they have enough depth to at least get out of the first round. You know, once they get into the second round, they might play some teams like the Phoenix Suns that I mentioned earlier, who I think can go to the Western Conference Finals, maybe even the Finals. Utah Jazz. The Lakers will probably be in it after LeBron James gets back. The Clippers. So getting out of the first round will be the key. But I think the Mavericks do have enough talent to make a run in the Western Conference, but I don't think they have enough to get to the finals.
We can't wait. The NBA playoffs will get underway next week. Okay, we're going to do a hard crossover. Let's talk some Major League Baseball news and notes. And what's going on with your Astros right now? Looks like they're continuing to move up.
Slowly but surely, the bullpen has a lot of issues, and Astros just need to stay healthy. They did lose two starting pitchers in Jake Odorizzi and Framber Valdez, but I think as long as the roster can stay together and they can avoid injuries, the Astros will be perfectly fine.
The MLB News Notes is going to continue. Larry Fleischer.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. You can always go back and listen to all of our interviews at podcastarena.com. And we love feedback. Email us, info@eradiosports.com, live on Twitter, @eradiosports. And you know what? If your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. So don't take a risk on a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. And if your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are ready to go around the horn. We are now 1 month into the baseball season. Last year, you know what? There were 60 games. 2021, there is a full 162. So we are delighted to have with us Major League Baseball writer Larry Fleischer is joining us from New York. Good morning on this Saturday, Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Always love to talk some baseball, and we wanted to get your feedback. I mean, what do you think is the biggest storyline from this first month? Some of your takeaways. What did we learn?
Well, I don't know if we've learned anything, considering that nobody's really running away with anything. Mm-hmm. So I think we've learned that perhaps there's a lot of parity, maybe more than we thought, because it looked like about a month ago when the Dodgers were 13-2 or so that they were going to roll to about 110 wins, but now they're three games over 500. Or as we talk about this now.
Okay, so you mentioned the Dodgers, but what about the San Francisco Giants? They are first in the NL West. I mean, what were your expectations for them? I mean, could we have anticipated this?
I would have had them, like many others, as probably third in the NLS, but they've done a nice job harvesting some veteran names, young veteran names, not like old veteran names, like DeScalfini and Kevin Gausman, who pitched, well, we've seen New York pitch well against the Yankees at various points when he was with the Orioles, and some other guys. So they've done a nice job of hanging in there with a good, a decent amount of pitching and timely hitting and things of that nature.
Okay, so are they, Larry? I mean, are they built to win? I mean, can they sustain?
Yeah, I think they can. I think if they're, as long as they don't have any major injuries, I think they can, because all these guys that are contributing to pitching, they're not older guys, so they're all still relatively in their prime, and I think that they I think they at the worst they'll be in the mix for the wild card spot if you assume that the Dodgers will get rolling at some point and take over first.
Anything's possible. You're listening to The Voice, Major League Baseball writer. In fact, he works for a number of wire services. That is Larry Fleischer, who is joining us at SportsMap Radio Network. You know, it's interesting. I highlight and talk about the Giants, how they've been a bit of a surprise. But I think one of the biggest surprises, you know, when the season got underway was the early season struggles with the Yankees. The pitching woes, the offense, the defense. I mean, it wasn't one single thing. So it seemed like a little bit of everything. But where do you see them at this point right now?
I see them making gradual improvements. Their pitching, their starting pitching for about the last 2 or 3 weeks has been really good. And I'm not just talking about Garrett Cole, who was absolutely insanely good in his most recent start on Wednesday against mm-hmm. Tampa Bay. But some of the other guys are pitching well. Kluber, Talion has had some good outings. And Jordan Montgomery is quietly pitched well. You got 9 strikeouts the other day, and the offense is slow going. I mean, I think it'll eventually come around, but it's still a work in progress. But they've been aided by the fact that Giancarlo Stanton's average has gone from in the 150s to around 300 in the last couple of weeks, and so they're kind of like similar to the Giants right now in terms of they're getting good pitching and they're getting enough hitting, and you have to think that eventually all the offense will come around.
Yes, eventually that it will. I mean, the bullpen is providing some production. But, you know, what were your expectations coming into the season? Because, I mean, Larry, they're loaded with talent at every position.
Yeah, well, I thought that they were definitely were the favorite to win it. And they probably still are when all is said and done. But, you know, some of their offense is inconsistent. I mean, you have a lot of right-handed hitting, which doesn't really bode well. I mean, you know, you're not getting a lot of at-bats from lefties, and you still got a number of guys off the relatively slow starts. I mean, you have Gleyber Torres, who's hitting .234 as we speak. But, I mean, he's been playing better, and Aaron Hicks is slowly starting to play better. He's up to .198. So I think that's how it happened. I think they weren't banking on the offense being this slow. I mean, granted, offense is down throughout the sport, so it's not just a Yankee problem.
So how concerned should Major League Baseball be about the offensive struggles? You talk about hitting being down. I mean, you know, where is baseball right now when we look at the sport?
I'm not sure if they should be concerned about offense per se. I think they should be more concerned with the amount of strikeouts and lack of action at times. I mean, yeah, there have been a lot of close games, low-scoring games, and still guys are hitting over 300. But there are also a lot of strikeouts. I mean, throughout the sport, it seems like this is the most strikeouts we've ever had. I'm not sure the exact number, but it seems like you're getting multiple double-digit strikeout games by teams on a nightly basis. And I think that could be a concern.
Major League Baseball writer Larry Fleischer is with us at SportsMap Radio Network. You know, we talk about the limited hitting that we're seeing, but, you know, the game today, it features just so many good pitchers. Is that kind of the reason why?
I think it's a combination of that and the fact that a lot of guys, not every guy, but a lot of guys are focusing on just trying to hit home runs and not necessarily take singles and doubles and stuff like that, and things like that.
Larry Fleischer, our guest at SportsMap Radio Network. Let's focus our attention right now in New York. That's where you are, and with the Mets. I mean, what is Steve Cohen bringing in from the offseason to this organization, that it was lacking in the ownership department?
Well, I think for one thing that it's unlikely that the Mets would have made any kind of trade for Francisco Lindor a year ago under the previous ownership, especially given the financial issues of the previous ownership. So I think that was lacking. They didn't have a ridiculously insane amount of money that they spent. They more kind of made more subtle moves, like back end starters like Tajon Walker, who's been really good, and like savvy relief pitching, which is an area they've had problems with at various points in the last decade or so.
Okay, so
and I think they had a good lineup to begin with, so I think that'll translate.
Yeah, I mean, well, will this translate into them being a contender right now? I mean, what they're at the top.
Well, the NL East has a lot of issues. I mean, the Phillies are inconsistent. The Nationals are off to a slow start, and the Braves are off to a slow start, and they've had a lot of injuries. So I think all those factors could work into their favor, especially if they keep playing the way they've been playing for about the last week.
Hey, Larry Fleischer, our guest, Sports Map Radio Network, MLB writer. And my final question for you is, I know we're jumping around to a number of divisions and teams, but how about the Oakland A's? I mean, Major League Baseball has given them permission to pursue other markets as far as moving the team. I mean, they want that new stadium. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, it's not surprising, but it's also, it's a tough economic environment for teams to get publicly financed money from state governments. And frankly, I don't know the net worth of the ownership of the Oakland A's, but you would like to think that that anyone who owns a team has a decent amount of money to put up their own stadium and maybe get minimal contributions from the municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how this all plays out when we talk about the Oakland A's and now that they have been given permission to pursue other markets. Larry Fleischer, our guest, Major League Baseball writer. We look forward to another conversation going around the horn, and just enjoy the season. Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. DraftKings, we're getting you ready for the NHL playoffs, is coming up next.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love our audience and our listeners, and we love to hear from you. Join us on Twitter, at eradiosportsinfo, eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And how about the folks that make it happen here at Sports Map Radio, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, here we go. The puck drops this weekend. You bet the NHL playoffs will get underway. And we are so excited to have with us from DraftKings, he is their NHL analyst. Give him a follow on Twitter at The Fantasy Grind. And that is Jeff Ulrich. How are you doing? Hi, Jeff.
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me on. Yeah, excited. There's a little bit of NHL playoff hockey coming up. Going to be a unique format this year, obviously, but lots of action going on DraftKings on the daily fantasy side and the sports book. So,
what do you see coming out of each of these four divisions when we look at the West, the Central, the East, and the North?
Yeah, I mean, these divisions are really different in just how they're set up. I mean, you've got the West with some very, very elite teams in Colorado and Vegas. I mean, Colorado likely going to be the one seed here, but Minnesota is a team that you shouldn't be discounting either. I mean, this is a team who was right on the tails of these two teams as well. And I'm not sure a lot of people expected them to be this good, but they got really good goaltending. I'm going to go with the favorite here, which is Colorado. This is a team in the back of the season. We're just dominant. Nathan MacKinnon getting back to top form. They're first in expected goal rate in the league, which is just a good 5-on-5 indicator of the strongest teams. And I think with MacKinnon back, assuming he stays healthy, they have most of their defense back. I think Colorado is a team I got out of the West. But then you head over to the North, Alyssa, and it's a much different division. It's much weaker. I'm going to peg the Oilers to come out of there.
Okay.
They have two big superstars. It's a bit of a longer shot. I mean, the others are around plus 2,000 to win the Stanley Cup right now. Toronto's the favorite there, but you always have a really weak team in Winnipeg in the first round. I think they'll be able to get by them easy. And I think they're a team, too. You know, Toronto, a solid team as well, but they don't have the goaltending necessarily. I think the Oilers have a pretty big edge in net there. So I'll be looking for the Oilers to kind of be my upset team to come out of the North. In the Central, again, you know, very deep top three teams with Tampa, Florida, Carolina there. I'm going to go with Carolina. You know, they have very solid goaltending, really good sort of, you know, top three scoring. I just feel like with the way they've been going this year, they're the healthiest. They have the least question marks. They were kind of my pick midseason, too, to potentially win the Stanley Cup. I'm going to stick with them. And then the East, I think you could kind of pick anyone in the East right now, and you'd be okay. It's just a very close division, four very close teams. I'm going to go with Boston. I really like the addition of Taylor Hall there at the back. I think the veteran netminder, Tuukka Rask, going to play a big factor. Obviously opted out of the playoffs last year. But with that depth and scoring, I think the Bruins are a veteran team. And, again, I think they're one of the healthiest if you look at the four. So I'll go with Boston.
Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings NHL analyst is joining us at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Give him a follow on Twitter, at the Fantasy Grind. And I want to back up just a moment. You were talking about the Oilers. Connor McDavid of the Oilers, he's garnered over 100 points in this abbreviated season, which is a historic accomplishment. I mean, do the Oilers, when you assess, you know, this team and this organization, I mean, do they have the pieces to make a run at the Cup this year?
I mean, you know, obviously picking them to win their division, so to speak, and then picking them to win the Cup are two different things. But I really think the Oilers are probably a little bit closer than people realize. I mean, what they're missing realistically right now is just secondary scoring. You know, they're so top. They get so many of their points from McDavid and Leon Draisaitl that's their main weakness. Just, you know, someone in the third line to chip in some goals every now and then. But you know, they added a rookie in Ryan McLeod late in the year. They called him up. He hasn't done much lately, but he's playing on a third line with James Neal. I wouldn't be shocked to see a veteran like James Neal perhaps get on a bit of a hot streak in the playoffs and perhaps push the team, like I said, to an upset maybe over the Leafs or something. So they definitely need that secondary scoring to step up. I don't think they're going to be able to make it even past the Leafs if they don't get it, but I really do kind of like their chances to at least make a little bit of a run. I'm not sure if they're quite there to, you know, make it all the way, you know, beat a team like Colorado. They do have good net minding and Mike Smith this year. They've really improved their defensive depth, but I think the secondary scoring will eventually catch up with Edmonton. So,
okay, so Jeff, you break down the Oilers. We highlighted the four divisions, but right now, who is the best team in the NHL right now?
I mean, if you just look at the odds on the DraftKings Sportsbook, I mean, you know, we can obviously see, you know, it's Colorado that's obviously, you know, favored to win the Stanley Cup. So we have to give them obviously some love. I mean, I think they're deserving of being, you know, the labeled best team in the league. You know, like I said, you look at advanced stats, like expected goal rate. This is a team that's just really good on both sides of the puck as well. You know, they allow the third fewest goals against in the league. They're first in goals scored per game in the league as well. So this is a team that kind of just has it all. They've got their starter goaltender back in Philip Grubauer as well. So I think the best team is Colorado. But, again, you know, going down, I do like the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they have a bit of a deeper forward group. I think they have perhaps a little bit a better goaltending group as well. A really high-end power play, too, anchored by a guy like Dougie Hamilton. So if I'm looking at the top teams in the league right now, I mean, you know, Colorado, again, they're the favorites on the DraftKings Sportsbook, but I would put Carolina as a very close second. And like, as I mentioned before, they were kind of my pick midseason. So I'll go with Carolina with Colorado kind of, you know, obviously public favorite there.
Okay. So Jeff, Colorado, Carolina, but what team did not live up to expectations and underachieved in this, abbreviated season?
I mean, the Dallas Stars definitely coming off, you know, a Stanley Cup appearance, really disappointed.
Okay.
You know, obviously probably people were expecting a little bit more, but they had injury issues as well. I mean, this is a team that didn't have Tyler Seguin for a lot of the year. We're relying on younger players. I mean, there was some positives for the Stars. I mean, Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson both had great seasons, so things to take from it. But definitely disappointed just from a performance standpoint. I also think if you look at some of the teams in the playoffs, I mean, a team like the St. Louis Blues, I mean, barely squeaking in. I think a lot of people, you know, didn't quite expect this kind of regression from St. Louis. They really sort of suffered from the loss of Alex Pietrangelo. just not a good defensive team, as they have been in the past, especially. So the Blues were a pretty big disappointment, even though they did get in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to do much. They have a really tough matchup round one. And then I'd also say the Montreal Canadiens were a bit of a disappointment. A lot of people pegging them to potentially challenge for the win in the North. They barely squeaked in as well. So of the playoff teams, you know, Montreal, St. Louis, definitely the most disappointing.
This year's playoffs features a unique scheduling due to the coronavirus. Kind of just talk about and walk us through, you know, what has the past, 12 to 13 months been like, the impact of the pandemic?
I mean, for hockey, it's produced, obviously, a couple really unique scenarios. I mean, obviously, we had the bubble last year with the play-ins and everything like that. But this year was unique as well, but I think it was a little bit, you know, I don't want to say funner, but I think it was definitely cooler for fans. You know,
okay.
Did you get the divisional matchups all season? I mean, I know as a Canadian, you know, seeing these Canadian teams go at it all year was fun. I think it was a unique format. So it's obviously, made the league be a little bit creative and stuff. But I think for obviously a negative event like the COVID pandemic is, I mean, it's produced some really interesting sporting scenarios. And I think the league handled it pretty well, kind of gave the fans what they wanted. You know, the Canadians got the Canadian matchups. We got some really, like, heavy Eastern Conference matchups that, you know, teams there have really good rivalries going on. So I think all things considered, we got a pretty good regular season for what could have been, like, a lot tougher scenario. Obviously, having to play through the COVID stoppages and stuff is one thing. We still have some regular season games going on with Vancouver just because of that. But all things considered, it was just, it gave the fans a bit of a unique scenario. And I also think it might change things going on in the future. You know, the league might look at being more divisional in the future, you know, maybe a little less travel for these teams. So I think it kind of gave us a bit of a glimpse, perhaps, into what the future may hold for the NHL in the regular season.
Our special guest is Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings NHL analyst. Give him a follow on Twitter at the Fantasy Grind. And so help our audience for a person betting on DraftKings for the first time this weekend. What type of bets would you recommend? Kind of help them out there, Jeff.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, I think taking a look at the series odds, I think, you know, when you're talking about playoffs, it's always kind of fun to look at, you know, who's going to win what series. And, you know, NHL first round is typically really wide open. It's, you get a lot of upsets. You get, obviously, you know, bottom seeds kind of playing out of their minds and sometimes some unsung heroes, you know, stepping up. I would really take a look at the series odds. You know, you can bet game by game as well, but just looking at it, I mentioned some of these deep divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some matchups that I think are worth taking advantage of. You know, Tampa Bay Lightning, favorites against the Florida Panthers right now. Florida Panthers +116 on the DraftKings Sportsbook to win that series. You look at these two teams and the stats and the standings, there's not much between them. And, I know Tampa's getting back Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov, but those are two guys who basically didn't play much in the regular season. Kucherov didn't play at all. Now they're going to be stepping into a playoff environment. I think the Panthers are added a really good depth piece in Sam Bennett at the trade deadline. I really like taking the underdog there with the Panthers. And I kind of like the underdog price you're getting on the New York Islanders as well. At +121. Again, a playoff proven team. They've got the edge in net there with Semyon Varlamov. So I guess my sort of advice would be take a look at these underdogs in these closer divisions. I'm not suggesting you need to go too crazy. You know, you don't need to pick the Nashville Predators or anything, stuff that the Carolina Hurricanes.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's going to happen. But I do kind of like the Islanders there and the Panthers. Those are two really close divisions. Four incredibly close teams, and again, you know, lead towards the plus money, get a little bit more return for your value, so to speak. So,
okay, so Jeff, direct our listeners. Where can they go and find out more information?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're looking through, more information on lines and stuff, go to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Looking for daily fantasy play, go to DraftKings.com. And if you're looking for advice and stuff like that, go to DKNation.com. It's the DraftKings Playbook. You can give me a follow at the Fantasy Grind on Twitter as well. Obviously going to be doing a lot of previews and stuff for the NHL as the playoffs go on.
Okay, enjoy the playoffs. Jeff Ulrich has been our very special guest, DraftKings NHL analyst. And as he just said, give him a follow at the Fantasy Grind. Enjoy the playoffs, and we'll talk again real soon. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network.
Sports Show on the Sports SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. And as always, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. We want you to join us every Saturday, 10 to 12 Eastern time. As promised, it is time to tee it up. At long last, Rory McIlroy is back in the winner's circle on the PGA Tour after many months of frustration. He is the winner of the 2021 Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow Club, an incredible venue. We've talked a lot about it. And delighted to have back with us, that is former PGA pro Larry Miller. Hello, Larry. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. We're right into the golf season now. We've got a lot to look forward to. We have three majors still, and we have the FedEx playoffs. And so a lot of golf to look forward to and watch and also play with the good weather of summertime. So let's get with it.
That's right. It is time to let it fly. So Rory McIlroy is back in the winner's circle after an 18-month drought. How did he do it? What did you see?
Well, you know, he took those 3 weeks off to kind of retool things after his little mistake of trying to chase distance in Bryson. And I think the 3 weeks really, for several reasons, really paid off. He got to shore up some of the mechanical things he was struggling with, got his mind refreshed, and worked on his putting a little bit. You know, when Rory McIlroy putts well, he's practically unbeatable. I mean, even the DJs and the Justin Thomases, they just can't deal with him if he's got that putter going. You know, if he has 27, 28 putts, you're not going to beat him the way he drives the ball. And so, anyway, it's not surprising but that he came back. He's too talented not to bring it back. And I'll tell you what, next week is the PGA. He won bots when he won the PGA there. And Rory seems to be a little bit like Tiger, where he wins multiple times at the same place. And that seems to be his trend also. And so I don't see any reason why you can't make him the favorite at Kiowa. He won that thing by 8 shots, loves the golf course, got his game back in order. And so it's going to be the rest of the year, I think it's going to be Rory's time to shine.
You know, I have to wonder, too, with this victory at Quail Hollow, is this the start of a major winning season for the former world number one? Because he looks like he's on his way back up the ladder after some serious struggles. Certainly, that win last weekend is a real inspiration.
Well, Kiowa, of course, suits his game perfectly.
Okay.
Then he's got the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, which he should really play that course well, too. It's a driver's golf course where the rough can be pretty severe there, and if you're driving the ball well, boy, it really sets up the rest of the game. Only thing different with Torrey is that the greens, a lot of the greens are sort of sitting out there isolated with not a lot of definition behind them. So now that puts a premium on approach shots. The guys who are great at that, like Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, too. So that'll be a little bit, I think, more difficult for him to win on. But, again, if he's putting, I don't care where they're playing, if Rory McIlroy is putting well, he's going to be really hard to deal with.
You know, you talk about Rory McIlroy's putting. He won at Quail Hollow with his short game where he was third in putting statistics and first in scrambling. So what else stood out about his game? Because it seems like maybe perhaps we've overlooked that he was trending in the right direction. I know he's had a lot of struggles. It's been chronicled. It's been talked about. But he obviously figured something out.
And I think it was his resiliency and his ability to recover. He hit a lot of drives, out of the fairway.
Yes, he did.
Into trees and pine straw and everything else. But he always seemed to, you know, get out of there and make pars on a lot of those holes and even birdies. And I think that's the big key there, along with the putting. I suspect that those 3 weeks, I think he put a lot of time into his putting to bring it back the way he did, because he didn't drive it really that well last week, but he still won. And I think it was that ability to recover, his short game, and his resilience, his mental toughness to be able to overcome the poor driving at times.
Well, isn't that what's just so crazy about the game of golf? It could be so fickle. 1 minute your game is upside down, and then all of a sudden you're king of the hill, you're king of the mountain.
Yes, and that happens a lot, and it's very cyclical with the ups and downs with the golf swing. It's it's such a sensitive thing. So many things can go wrong with a golf swing. One little thing can throw it off. And so to sustain extremely good play over a long period of time is just about impossible. You see it all the time. You see every big name, every elite player go through little periods where they don't play well. Then they come back and play well. And that goes for everyone. No one plays the game at their highest level all the time. It's just not the nature of golf. And so you have to have the patience and the perseverance to go through that. It's kind of like having a cold. You know, it has to run course.
Yes.
And you keep working, stay in the process, and you know it's going to come back.
Well, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised about this emotional win for Rory and his beautiful family on Mother's Day because, you know, he's been spending time and working with his new swing coach in Pete Cohen, and that started last month. So, and he obviously has a tremendous resume and knows how to work with the best.
He does, and he's got a special way of teaching. He's kind of in the mold of Harvey Pinnick, where he keeps it simple, you know, stresses fundamentals and also a lot of the mental game, too. So I love his philosophy, his teaching philosophy, and his methods. And I think Rory's really benefited from that. And Rory's a smart guy. You know, if you listen to his interviews,
absolutely.
You know, the media loves Rory. He's one of the best interviews because he gives you detailed information, not just rote answers, you know, that are stock answers. And so he's an intelligent guy and physically talented beyond belief. So I think he's going to have a great rest of the year.
Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online, live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Our very special guest who joins us every week is Larry Miller, life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player. He is the author of four books on golf and performance. And one guy we got to talk about, and you mentioned him briefly just a few weeks ago, is Sam Burns. He's from your part of the country. He does have one win on the PGA Tour, the 2021 Valspar Championship. He played golf at LSU. You're very familiar with his game. What's his secret?
Yeah, I love to talk about Sam Burns. Let's talk about it. Well, let me tell you about this guy.
Okay.
He had a great college career at LSU. He plays a lot of golf, plays out of a course called Squire Creek up in North Louisiana. It's near Monroe. Squire Creek is, in my long career in golf and all the courses I've played, thousands of them, Squire Creek is probably in my top five toughest golf courses I've ever played. So it's not only the best course in Louisiana, it's a Tom Fazio design, but it's also the most difficult in the state. I was up there a few weeks ago and on a little golf trip with friends and played the course a couple of times. And Sam Burns plays out of that course. And I was walking through the clubhouse in one of the hallways, and up on the wall is a big scorecard. It's the course record. And this scorecard has Sam Burns on it, holds a course record, and the course record is 60. Now, it's par 72. As I said, one of the most difficult courses I've ever encountered. And to me, as long as I've been around this game, it's almost unimaginable to me that anyone could shoot 60, 12 under on that golf course. The greens are more difficult than Augusta National. They're just as fast. And they have more ridges, not just undulations, but ridges through all the greens. And trying to get approach shots close is just about the hardest thing you've ever seen.
Really?
So for him, when I saw that, and this is before he won his first event, mm-hmm. and I told my friends up there, I said, look, this guy could shoot 60 on this golf course. He's going to be a superstar. And I think it's going to happen. He's got every part of the game. There's no weaknesses. And every analyst says the same thing, that he has no weaknesses in his game. He's a great chipper, great putter, hits it a mile. He's a big guy. He's a good chipper of the ball and pitcher. And there's just no weakness. And he seems to be a smart guy and a really nice guy. So I think that's one of your next real elite players in the game for a long time to come.
You know, I was talking to some of my contacts in media. They said he's an extremely hard worker. You talk about that he's going to be a star. Will he be a major winner? What are your expectations for him, Larry?
Oh, no question about it. There's no telling how many. You know, I keep saying that I don't think anyone's going to dominate the game again like Nicklaus did and like Tiger Woods did. But if there's a prototype of someone that can do it, it's Sam Burns. The guy is, what, 6'5"? Hits it forever. And for somebody that strong and big to be a great putter is unusual. He has a great touch. So the only thing that remains to be seen is if he has the course management abilities, you know, of those chances that I mentioned, to become that good. But I think he does.
We are Inside the Ropes with former PGA pro author Larry Miller, who is joining us. Check out his website, LarryMillerGolf.com, for our listeners. Let's pause. Connect with them, Larry. What are they going to find when they go to your website?
Well, they're going to find a way that they can really improve their golf game by sending in videos. And I take a look at that and figure out, analyze it, and see what the flaws are, what can be improved, and how to do it, how to improve it. And I let you know. We have a conversation back and forth and even a telephone conversation. So it's a great way to easily improve your game without having to do any traveling.
Okay, so the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament, it is currently underway right now, TPC Craig Ranch. What are your expectations? It's at a new venue that has hosted actually some Korn Ferry Tour Championships and various U.S. Open qualifiers. What do you know, Larry?
Yeah, I played the Byron Nelson twice when it was at Preston Trail.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They keep moving it around to different venues. And the reason they left Preston Trail is because they had no more real estate to lengthen the golf course, and the game just outgrew the course, really. But the cool thing about it was that Mr. Nelson used to sit on a stool right outside of the golf shop.
He did.
And as you'd come in, he would greet all the pros, and I got to shake his hand and go up. Everybody did that. And that was really cool. He's such a gentleman of the game. And I'm glad I got to do that with him, you know, one of the real icons. But anyway, there's a great field this week in the Byron Nelson. And a lot of these guys are getting ready for the PGA next week, for the next major. And so you got a lot of the big names playing, trying to get their games, razor sharp going into Kiawah Island.
Our special guest is Larry Miller. Inside the Ropes joins us each and every week. This is our final show before our summer break. And you are in the great state of Louisiana, and you've got to weigh in on, as far as with the women's golf, the NC2A canceled the regional, and it has been all over the internet, all over Twitter. Very heartbreaking for all the seniors who golf's careers, you know, they worked so hard to get to this moment, and then it was canceled. They said that the course was unplayable. It wasn't at a championship level. So I don't understand fully what does that mean? What does a championship level mean? What was your reaction when you heard about this cancellation and so many heartbreaking
stories? Well, I guess the golf course was in condition for a championship like that, for a tournament like that. And they probably had, you know, standing water in a lot of places. They were going to probably have to play lift clean in place to an extreme degree to try to find dry spots. And it just wouldn't be fair. It would not produce the best players. It would produce the ones who hit the ball in the spots, the right spots, accidentally, because the course is so bad. I don't understand, though, why they couldn't maybe find another venue, but I guess the logistics prevented that from happening so quickly. It's a shame, that they had to cancel that, for sure.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with Larry Miller. You know, it's so tough. You just think about student-athletes, what they've had to go through and endure over the past year and a half, and to see their, you know, season come down to this. It really is heartbreaking. Okay, Larry, we're getting ready to wrap up our time, and it is spring, but summer is just around the corner, so we want you to connect with our audience and give them some summer tips. We need a golf survival guide. I know we got a layer on the sunscreen, but what else do you want to share with our audience?
Well, I want to stress the importance of getting your fundamentals checked when you go into a heavy golf schedule. So get with your PGA professional and get your fundamentals checked, your posture, your alignment, your grip, you know, all that, the setup and the golf swing, the address position. You know, get the fundamentals down right now, because if you don't, you're going to have to make adjustments and compensations, during your swing, and that gets a bit tricky. Even Jack Nicklaus would begin each season by getting his fundamentals checked with his teacher. So that's how important it is, and that's what I suggest you do. And if you do that, you'll have a much productive golf season.
Mm-hmm. And if any of our listeners or our audience are headed to Louisiana, what courses maybe should they check out and try to get a tee time on?
Well, Baton Rouge has some good courses. The Country Club of Louisiana, it has. You've got the TPC of Louisiana mm-hmm. in New Orleans.
Yep.
And you've got, if you can get on Squire Creek up there where Sam Burns plays, don't miss that. That's a fabulous, fabulous golf course. But you have to bring your patience with you there. It's going to eat you alive.
What's your best score that you and Connie have shot on that course?
It was great. I mean, for me, I thought, but I've also shot 80 on it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you're not hitting your approach shots in the right places, you're going to three putt all day long. The greens are like lightning fast and severely undulating with a lot of ridges. So you get over 30 feet, you got a problem.
What was your lowest round you were cutting out on your cell phone?
72.
72? Okay, yeah. Nice. Okay. Good stuff. Well, we always love having you on. Enjoy your summer break. Stay safe. And we look forward to connecting back in the month of August. Best to Connie, okay?
Yep. Happy golfing, everybody. And no matter what, don't forget to smile.
That, of course, was Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio.